What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Hey, Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you see on defense from the Houston Texans?
I mean, the first thing that jumps out at you is speed. That front can run. We didn't have a chance to play against Zero last year, or last time we played him a couple weeks back. And he's fast also as a linebacker, and he's kind of their main play caller there. So, you know, but he can, the speed of the D-line, the linebackers, just jump out at you. And they're real good. The hands of the secondary, those guys, they catch the ball. You don't see a lot of bobbles or drops or that. They, if you're presenting it close, they can go up and snag it.
Yeah, if anything, that was the worst part of the Texans picking off the Chargers four times in that game. That's why I was down on it. I thought after two, I was like, hey, we don't want Mahomes and Reed to have a real quick reminder here, a stark reminder of facing an opportunistic defense that we really got to be on our P's and Q's.
Yeah.
All right, guys? Hey, maybe, Derek, bat down that last one, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe just, let these guys kind of coast on through and feel like, well, here we go. He's basically got a bye week versus the Texans this week. No. So it's very obvious that, yes, there's a lot of speed out on the field there, and the Texans are a very opportunistic defense. They led the league in interceptions, or did they end up second in interceptions? Whatever it was.
They intercepted a lot of balls, yeah.
I don't think, as much as Chiefs fans or anybody else might be taking the Texans lightly, I don't think for a second that Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are taking the defense lightly. If you're a quarterback, you don't like throwing interceptions, and they've got very recent proof and evidence of the Texans' ability to do that. You just gotta keep doing what you did last week, though. Man, if that defense keeps playing the way they were playing. And especially if, you know, the nice thing was that they fixed their issues in the run defense on the first drive. They were having some issues with their defensive tackles getting trapped and whammed, all the same stuff we've been seeing the last few weeks. With Azeez Alshire back out there on the field with all of the starters versus a playoff caliber football team, they fixed it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Azeez Alshire was on the field when they fixed this thing that's been an issue the last few weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to what does this team look like with Azeez Alshire versus the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, and I think that's going to – Azeez Alshire being back is big when it comes to – I think that the biggest thing that – if we're looking at the previous Chiefs game, because it was fairly recently, like the biggest thing that I would try to cure would be the defense's ability to get off the field in the fourth quarter. You know, the Chiefs were able to burn that clock. The last 11 or 12 minutes of the game was them just burning the clock, converting third down after third down after third down. The Chiefs are not a great offense in terms of scoring. They're middle of the pack. They're 15th in scoring in the league, but they're second on converting third downs. And so if this gets into a game in the fourth quarter where the Chiefs have to play keep away, like they were able to do against you back on December the 21st, and you're not able to get off of the field, that's a big problem, obviously. So I think that to me, if there's one thing I could cure from that first game, it would be that. Because to my recollection, I don't think they hit you with a bunch of big chunk plays. You know, DeAndre Hopkins had a few catches to move the chains. Travis Kelce was just kind of annoying paper cut kind of catches, but he was also somewhat of a factor, but I don't remember Xavier Worthy getting massive plays in that game. Hollywood Brown, I don't even remember if he played in that game.
I'm actually kind of glad it happened, given the circumstances. I'm glad that Ladd McConkey had that big touchdown.
Yeah.
Because I think the Texans defense needs to be reminded that, hey, we've been really, really, really good in a lot of ways this year. These huge chunk plays have undone a lot of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, and part of it is that some of that's just been because they've had younger guys in the back, in the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. So those guys have played really well, but they've got moments where they've played like rookies. It's a reminder to them that, all right, man, as awesome as that game was, it could have been a lot better if we had just been a little bit more aware on that. Like, Ladd McConkey, that could have been an interception on that play.
Yes.
Instead of a touchdown. You got to play all four quarters. And when especially when you're facing a guy like Xavier Worthy, you got to play mentally sharp the entire game. So, there's no shortage of footage where you can watch the Chiefs and see exactly how they can take advantage of you with that.
Here's Patrick Mahomes and his thoughts on the Texans defense.
Yeah, I think what everybody's kind of known. I mean, that defense is extremely real. They have a great quarterback and a great coach, and we knew when we played in this last time. It was a hard fought game, and they get after the quarterback really well. They have really good secondary players, and the linebackers fly around. So it'll be a great challenge for us, and we'll have to play our best football.
The frustrating thing about the Chiefs game also was that they got some really good pass rushes. They didn't get Mahomes on the ground. That's part of Mahomes and he's just really good at scrambling and taking the yardage when it's there. Mm-hmm. So the contained pass rush and all that stuff really matters. But ultimately, it's not enough just to get pressure. You got to get him on the ground. You got to or hit his arm as he's throwing the ball to force him into some of those errors. The Texans defense right now, for all the issues that they've had with injuries, including still Christian Harris. Somebody on the text line just asked about Christian Harris, whether he played last time or not. Christian Harris only played 7 snaps in last week's game. So it wasn't like he was a big part of that defensive effort. I think you got to look at him at this point as it's a bonus. If his calf is functioning properly and if it's okay, maybe he's a big factor in the game, but I don't think you can really lean on him being in there. The encouraging thing is that when Andy Reid's talking about the speed of the defense, he's talking about Azeez Elshire and Henry Toa at linebacker and the way those guys play. It's just they're not, you know, going into that game versus the Chargers, I thought, man, the Chargers, they like to try to be an old-school football team. They've got big-bodied dudes. They want to run the ball. And I was worried about the Texans having to play nickel all the time. They had to play nickel all the time, and they were still really good against the run. So, and again, I don't think that happens without Azeez Elshire out there.
Hollywood text message. Hollywood did play in the last game. That's right. Texter also, it's Nico's texting in, saying Worthy scored a TD when he said the Texans yelled out the coverage. That's right. Xavier Worthy said they yelled out zone.
And so
he just ran into a spot there.
And I think some people made a big deal out of that. That happens sometimes. You're trying to make it just. Now, that's where the Chiefs do a good job of taking advantage of motion and everything else, and that's when you end up getting calls from the defenders who are communicating. So, the next level for that for the defense is when you want to start making dummy calls whenever possible. It just that takes time and that takes veteran savvy. You know, you can call zone sometimes even because both the two defensive backs know that it's not zone, but you just say it as a dummy call.
Yep.
I don't think the Texans are quite there yet because they have so much youth.
Yeah. A texter also saying, do you guys know if Lassiter played in week 16 against the Chiefs? Yes. He was the one that was in zone right in front of where Worthy slipped behind him on that touchdown. Yes. So he definitely played. He definitely played in that game. One of the fun battles in this game will be Nico Collins versus Trent McDuffie, the Kansas City Chiefs top corner. They have him travel with top wide receivers. Here was McDuffie yesterday talking about the challenge of going against Nico Collins.
I kind of was saying this earlier. I love going against players like this who I call him a complete receiver. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's fast, good hands. His connection with CJ, you can tell, is at an all-time high. They're kind of clicking on all cylinders, and he's their number one receiver. And that's really why you want to play this game, go against the best competition and a game that means a lot in the playoffs. So excited to go against him. You know what he's going to come into this game with and ready to go compete.
Yeah, so Nico in that game had 7 receptions for 60 yards, 10 targets. Tank Dell was having his best game of his season so far because he had those 6 receptions on 98 yards. The run game wasn't as bad as it's been at times for the Texans, but it certainly wasn't great. Mixon only had 57 yards rushing. I think that ends up being a big factor in this game because the old cliche, man, try to keep Pat Mahomes off the field. This is the kind of game where time of possession matters.
Yeah.
When it comes down to, especially in the fourth quarter, given Pat Mahomes as few cracks at the bat as possible, if they can build on what they did last week and start to be able to lean into the run more, that hopefully could be a big difference and a big difference between this time and last
time. Dude, if they could be the team that's possessing the ball for the last 6 minutes of the game, that would be incredible.
You know who had the big reception in that game, Sean? I was trying to remember. It was Samaje Perine.
The wheel route.
He went 30-plus yards on that one.
The wheel route on that last drive. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the play where not you, Seth, but you, all of us, we're going to lose this game. you know what I mean? Like, that's the play. So I think it was on third down. It was,
I leaned in hard. Sammy had brought some Domino's pizza to the live lounge up there, and I ate one of his entire pizzas. Thank you, Sammy. I don't feel guilty about it now. I used to feel guilty about it when Sammy was just a college kid. Now that he's a lawyer, I'm like, oh, you only brought 2 pizzas?
And can you no disrespect to Domino's, man, but what about some designer upscale pizza? You know, how about a little deep dish? You know what I'm saying? Like, although Domino's gets the job done, I would say.
I like Domino's. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if I've yet met a pizza chain whose pizza I don't like. I've got no issue with any of it. Oh, it's dough, it's cheese, and it's a bunch of sauce.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's hard to screw it up, you know?
Yeah.
Now, there's individual pizzerias sometimes that just are poorly managed, but.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a pizza snob.
No.
And the good stuff, like, I love Star Pizza, but man, I feel like a boa constrictor having just eaten an entire wildebeest after I eat it. There's just so much.
Oh.
There's just so much in my belly.
I can't
control myself.
We got to go to their buffet sometime. Tuesday and Friday.
I can't do that.
Yeah, let's go, Seth. Come on. Let's get come on. A little retro time. Old Seth.
I got to back off on the sodium is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Not with just any pizza in general. Yeah. I got to watch the sodium these days.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
One of the things that I'm excited about with the Texans, independent of this game on Saturday, that I will be excited about even if the Texans lose, and even if they lose lopsidedly on Saturday, is that we are not one of the teams, we don't root for one of the teams that's on this hamster wheel at either head coach and or quarterback. This was Kevin O'Connell yesterday, I believe, talking about, it was either yesterday or right after the game on Monday, talking about Sam Darnold's time in Minnesota. Take a listen to this.
A winning quarterback this year and the consistency at the times he had it throughout the year and what that meant for our team, because I think that can stay with him moving forward as he goes back to work. Proud of him, proud of you know, really everybody in that locker room, but Sam and the journey him and I went on this year will always, you know, be a, you know, something that's a special place in my heart for sure.
Okay, that last part is where people were like, oh yeah, like the whole chatter about Sam Darnold like 4 weeks ago where they're like, well, they could franchise tag him and J.J. McCarthy could sit for another year. Like, I hear that last part and like this year will always hold a special place in my heart. Like, these, Kevin O'Connell sounded like a guy who's ready to move on to J.J. McCarthy next year in that cut.
Yeah. Well, and that would be the likely. You draft a guy, you draft a quarterback in the first round. Typically, that's the plan for the future, and you got to figure it out.
No, now, but Sam, I mean, Sam Darnold was like in the running for the MVP a month ago, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But like, given the way he's played over the last couple games,
yeah,
he's clearly not the guy that. I guess it's not like a huge leap that, okay, we're going to move on to J.J. McCarthy now. Now, the question is, all right, what kind of offers does Sam Darnold actually get? And how competitive would the Vikings really have to be to bring him back and be a bridge quarterback to him? Maybe that's still in the cards. I don't know.
That would be weird. Like, as good a year as he had, like, Sam Darnold to come back to the same team and be a backup. Like, I think some team's going to offer him a starting job. You know, like, there's...
As a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
As a guy that... Yeah.
There just aren't that many good quarterbacks in this draft. You know, like, he'll be a star. I think the Steelers could sign him and not draft a quarterback, you know?
Yeah, but do they have Justin Jefferson? I can't remember. That's the biggest question.
I'm not saying it's a great solution. I'm just saying...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who's not a big fan of Sam Darnold? Paul Allen. Not the deceased billionaire. The play-by-play guy for the Minnesota Vikings. I love stuff like this where radio guys go off. And it's usually the color analyst that does this. But this is the play-by-play guy in Minnesota, Paul Allen, after one of Sam Darnold's 9 sacks that he took.
Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a 5th time.
All he's got to do is pull that thing down and run and get as much positive yardage as he can. There were 5 to 7 yards easy there to be made. We saw Buffalo do this to him all day long because they're not always disciplined in their lanes. But if he pulls this thing down right there, he has a good five, seven.
That's good, Ben. If Peter Bursich is the color analyst. I know him because he was a Notre Dame guy. But the play-by-play guy screaming out, throw the ball, man!
Yeah, not the color commentator, but the actual play-by-play guy. Yeah, it feels a little bit like Andre Ware. We get that same element with Andre.
Oh, yeah. No.
We get the inverse. We get Andre doing that here.
Oh, no!
Yeah, here's my favorite example of that one.
Stroud gets the snap. CJ with pressure. CJ scrambling out to the left, now back to the right, runs into Titus Howard. Ball comes out. Somebody's got to fall on it. Texans have it inside their 35-yard line. A disaster on third down.
Titus has got to stop watching and quitting on plays, watching the action when he gets himself beaten. That's what happens when you just stop and start watching and somebody's still playing. You're trying to get out of the way. You run right back into him.
It looked like Titus almost pulled the ball out trying to pull
CJ
with him.
Mark, it happens way too much.
Can you imagine Paul Allen and Andre Ware on a broadcast together? Oh, my God. Were the teams like not playing well?
Like the two guys in the balcony in the Muppet Show.
Statler and Waldorf. He's cracking bad jokes.
What were their names?
Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a big Muppet Show.
Sounds like those are a couple of rich old guy names.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you think?
Statler and Waldorf.
I am just happy. The reason I played the Darnold cut, I am happy we're not in those conversations anymore. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. Like, if you're the Steelers or you're the Raiders or you're one of these other teams, especially teams that are looking at this draft, and it's like, okay, it's Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, neither of whom are viewed in the same realm as the top guys that have been drafted the last couple years. And then it's Quinn Ewers after that. You know, like, it's it's a bad quarterback draft. So that's, like, Sam Darnold might be one of the better options out there, and he ain't a good option. Like, that's...
You know, Sam Darnold in the... Because it felt like the entire second half of the season, the shine was off a little bit. And you look at his yards per... His yards per attempt ended up being just, like abysmal, like below six in multiple games there down the stretch. And it just, it felt like, all right, whatever ambush element there was to, hey, quarterback in a new system, first time we're seeing him, it takes a while for the league to catch up. So I've always felt like the best strategy, if you don't feel great about your quarterback, is like, let's say you had Gardner Minshew and Sam Darnold on the same team. It's just, okay, Sam Darnold's going to be the first half of the season quarterback. And then second half of the season, back quarterback is going to be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you trade for Joe Flacco, right? Or you bring Joe Flacco in off the street right before the playoffs. Yeah. Just ambush him, because you just don't know exactly how they're going to use the guy. He's good enough, but, like, hey, just throw him in there.
Yeah, you treat your team like a Broadway calendar. We're like, we're starting the season with Sam Darnold. He's only here for 4 weeks. You got to get, if you want to watch Sam Darnold. And then the next show is Gardner Minshew and then Flacco.
And then Beverly D'Angelo. At the end, you know?
Yes. We do Hamilton for the last 2 weeks. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Hey, Justin Verlander's gone. He's headed to the Giants. He revealed the reason why he was so banged up and injured last year. I'm curious how Astro fans feel when they hear the reason. Will they feel a little jilted? We'll have that for you coming up next.